The worst week yet. June 30th to July 6th, 2024. Grindr date takes grisly turn. Black male charged with murdering 14-year-old white tranny and dismembering him with electric saw. Using the homosexual hookup app Grindr, the star-crossed lovers arrange for a lakeside rendezvous in the middle of the night at a canoe launch in rural northwestern Pennsylvania between Pittsburgh and Lake Erie. According to a criminal complaint filed on July 3rd, the family of 14-year-old Paulie Likens had left town on June 22nd for reasons which remain unclear. Young Paulie intended to stay at an undisclosed friend's house while his family was gone. The friend, described as a juvenile, says they last saw Paulie in person at about 9:30 p.m. on June 22nd after Paulie said he was going to walk back home. When the friend noticed Paulie had posted on social media that he was taking a late-night stroll at around 2:30 a.m., they messaged Paulie to see that he was okay. Paulie said he was, but all subsequent messages to him were ignored. Since Paulie was a biological male, I've insisted on referring to him with his proper pronouns. But even 4 years ago when he was 10, Paulie was posting gender-ambiguous photos of himself on Facebook. A more recent picture, the one appearing in all the news stories, shows Paulie presenting as a female, although one who looks as if they've seen some extremely hard times for a 14-year-old. On July 2nd, after spending days scouring the woods and dragging Shenango Lake in Clarkboro, Pennsylvania, police arrested a burly but freckled 29-year-old black male named Deshaun Watkins and charged him with murder in the first degree, aggravated assault, tampering with or fabricating evidence, and abuse of a corpse. In case you were unaware, Deshaun is a name derived from a Swahili term which roughly translates as the Sean. According to Law and Crime, a 29-year-old man in Pennsylvania has been arrested for allegedly killing and dismembering a 14-year-old who had been missing since late June. A forensic pathologist with the coroner's office performed an autopsy and determined that Paulie's manner of death was a homicide and her cause of death was sharp force trauma to the head. Additionally, evidence indicated that Paulie was dismembered with a cutting instrument. Surveillance footage from an apartment complex reportedly showed Watkins leaving his apartment multiple times carrying multiple bags and garbage bags. At least once, he can reportedly be seen struggling to carry a large duffel bag. Additionally, Watkins said that he had used the dating app Grindr to meet up with someone and they engaged in some form of sexual contact. Authorities on July 2nd executed a search warrant on Watkins' home where they reportedly found blood present in multiple locations, including the area beneath the bathroom floor lining. A receipt showed that Watkins on June 23rd purchased an electric saw with exchangeable blades that was recovered from the home with the blade missing. Jen McClure is Paulie Likens' biological mother, but for reasons which I'm sure are quite colorful, she doesn't share his surname. A friend of McClure set up a GoFundMe page, which as of this writing has raised nearly $22,000 of a $15,000 goal.
I'm creating this GoFundMe on behalf of Paulie's mom, Jen. She found out this morning that her daughter was murdered. Paulie was only 14 years old and had a whole life ahead of her. No mother should have to bury their baby, and due to her unexpected death, the family was not financially prepared for funeral expenses. If we could come together as a community and help them out in this impossibly hard time to give them one less thing to worry about, that would be amazing. Let's help this mom lay her baby to rest.
Paulie's aunt, who, like his mom, was nowhere around Paulie when he got murdered, told a local TV station that Paulie was just amazing.
Only an absolute monster could do something like that to anyone, let alone a child. I hope he gets what he deserves.
Your postmortem rage and sanctimony are convenient, but what was your amazing child doing meeting strange men on a homosexual dating app? Maybe Grindr should change its name to Dismember or Chopper. Uber wigger Chet Hanks condemns the brutally racist repurposing of his dopey white boy summer meme. Chet Hanks is to be applauded for one thing and one thing only. In a category teeming with able competitors, he manages to be Hollywood's dumbest and most reprehensible nepotism baby. The fact that our society has graciously bestowed upon the part-time Jamaican who also calls himself Chet Hayes a mildly lucrative career as a social influencer lends credence to the notion that being a sociopath is neither ignoble nor unreasonable. The fact that his father, the aggressively anodyne Tom Hanks, has won two Oscars for Best Actor can only mean one of three things. One, there are no decent actors left in Hollywood. Two, there are no honest voters at the Academy for Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Or three, they'll toss an Oscar at anyone who plays a retarded person or someone dying of AIDS. It was back in March of 2021 when philosopher and sage Chet Hanks proved that he was able to simultaneously chew gum, film himself sitting in the front seat of his car, and speak knowingly into the camera when he prophesied, "Hey guys, look, I just wanted to tap in really quick. I just got this feeling, man, that this summer is about to be a white boy summer. You know, take it how you want. I'm not talking about like Trump, you know, NASCAR type white. I'm talking about, you know, me, John B., Jack Harlow type white boy summer. You know what I mean? Let me know if you guys can vibe with that and get ready, you know, because I am." He quickly followed up with an official white boy summer rap music video and a white boy summer clothing line that was slammed for using a gothic font that critics said made it look like Nazi gang memorabilia. In late May of this year, Hanks, looking as dumb as ever, announced on Instagram that this summer would be the fourth consecutive white boy summer since the concept spilled out of his thin pink lips in 2021. "I have consulted with the heavens, felt a westward breeze, and walked outside of a strip club and saw my shadow. This will be a white boy summer. I have spoken." Although Hanks made it clear in his original prophecy about white boy summer that he wasn't talking about actual white males who, unlike him, act and talk white, people such as Donald Trump or the working class types who follow NASCAR, it wasn't until last Wednesday that he felt compelled to come out of his self-induced crack cocaine coma to declare, yet again on Instagram, that white boy summer was off limits to all white boys who don't see a problem with being white. "White boy summer was created to be fun, playful, and a celebration of fly white boys who love beautiful queens of every race. Anything else that has been twisted into to support any kind of hate or bigotry against any group of people is deplorable, and I condemn it. I hope that we can all spread love to each other and treat each other with kindness and dignity. Love, Chet Hanks." You read that correctly. Chet Hanks, of all people, was insisting that we live in a dignified world. It is possibly no coincidence that his disavowal of the bad white boys who honor White Boy Summer came after the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism, one of whose co-founders is the hideous she-pig Heidi Beirich of SPLC infamy, published a 4,000-word report titled "How White Boy Summer Turned into a Transnational Hate Campaign." A slogan from a Hollywood star's son with a supposedly benign beginning has escalated into a powerful global call to action for far-right recruitment, protest, and violence. Over the past couple months, white supremacists and neo-Nazis have been calling for the destruction of pride flags, killing N-words and communists, and the creation of more militias, all under one slogan: White Boy Summer. Several extremist groups, including the Proud Boys, White Lives Matter, the Identitarian Movement in Europe, and neo-Nazi active clubs, are all using White Boy Summer to spread propaganda, recruit new members, and facilitate targeted hate campaigns, including acts of vandalism and hate incidents. That's all I'll quote for now. I've linked to the full article, and it's the sort of tone-deaf and starkly humorless scaremongering one has come to expect from those who've made millions fighting the phantom demon of hate, a dark an evil force that for some reason only inhabits the souls of white boys who don't pretend they're black. It's no different in substance and tone from another scare piece published on July 1st, 2021, as the first ever White Boys Summer raged, titled White Boys Summer, Nazi Memes, and the Mainstreaming of White Supremacist Violence. Both articles' authors, unwittingly or not, have provided handy clearinghouses for the best White Boys Summer memes this doomed planet's real white boys have created ever since this became a holy season for white boys the world over. Notoriously hateful town of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho passes anti-hate crimes ordinance. I love Idaho so much that I wrote and narrated a travel log about a week I spent there back in June of 2015. Northern Idaho has a reputation as not only one of the whitest areas in the nation, it's possibly the country's most impenitently white area. For example, in 1973, Christian Identity pastor Richard Butler moved to Hayden Lake and established his Aryan Nations compound, which eventually folded after the SPLC filed a $6.3 million lawsuit against them. In 1992, white separatist Randy Weaver became embroiled in a deadly 11-day standoff at Ruby Ridge with FBI agents, who shot and killed Weaver's wife Vicky and teenage son Sammy. In 1995, Michael A. Hoffman II, author of They Were White and They Were Slaves and Judaism's Strange Gods, moved to the Coeur d'Alene area. My Idaho travelogue features an account of having lunch with Hoffman and his wife in downtown Coeur d'Alene. In 2020, vandals destroyed a tree in Coeur d'Alene that was planted in a public park in 2006 to honor Holocaust victim Anne Frank. In June 2022, 31 masked members of Patriot Front were arrested and accused of conspiring to riot in Coeur d'Alene's downtown on the same day as a scheduled Pride in the Park event nearby. This past March, visiting members of the University of Utah's women's basketball team were allegedly harassed by racists in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Last Tuesday night, the City Council of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, decided that their fair city by the lake had seen quite enough of all this hate and decided to take action. After nearly 2 hours of public comment and discussion, it unanimously approved a new chapter in its municipal code that creates an offense known as hate crime, which is the commission of certain, already established crimes, but motivated by a person's actual or perceived race, color, creed, religion, ancestry, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical or mental disability, or national origin. Intimidation, malicious injury to property, harassment, public nuisance, assault and battery, threat, disorderly conduct, and conspiracy are listed as possible hate crimes. Mayor Jim Hammond said the ordinance against hate crimes is not a fix-all. It's a smaller part of a larger campaign to change the culture of our city so that even those people who have that kind of hate will fear sharing that publicly because it's just not acceptable in this community, he said. Hate is merely a code word for white.